Hello and welcome back to the WeRZ podcast. I'm Paul Lohman, and today I'm here with my co-host, Jimmy Shee. We are here with Pamela Scheffer, who is here to talk about youth crisis intervention and her role at the Oasis Center.
To start with, we really appreciate the opportunity that you're able to come to us and we're able to have this conversation. It's really important conversation we've been wanting to have for a long time. So at the very beginning, we just want to say thank you very much for allowing us to learn more about your experience in this field. And for our listeners that don't necessarily know what Oasis Center is and who you are, can you just kind of do a little brief explanation of what Oasis Center is and what your role in this is?
Absolutely. Again, thank you so much to Jimmy and Paul for inviting me to be with you today and to talk a little bit about the Oasis Center. And the Oasis Center is a nonprofit organization here in Nashville that has been around for 50 plus years. And it is an organization that has a myriad of programs that focus on working with young people that are marginalized within our communities that are experiencing trauma and or they are struggling with being in a place that affirms them and provides them opportunities to grow and thrive. My particular role I guess I should introduce myself. My name is Pam Scheffer, and I am the Director of LGBTQ Programming and Development at the Oasis Center. So my specific focus is on providing opportunities for young people who identify on the LGBTQ spectrum to be able to grow and thrive into amazing and wonderful, productive adults.
Awesome. And then obviously, we would love to get more into the Just Us program and then in a future episode, because that's fascinating. And I think in today's episode, there's so much that we'd like to talk to you about of Gen Z and the LGBTQ community. But today, we'd like to focus on the Oasis Center side of it. But again, we would love to learn more about Just Us. And I think one really important piece of information that I found while I was doing the research for Oasis Center is, I think you mentioned how you worked for the Oasis Center for free for one entire year. Is that right?
Yeah, that is correct. You've done some good research. I don't remember that being out there in the information sphere. So yeah, I did. And that story is long and robust, but your research is correct. I did work as a volunteer for 40 hours a week for a year to do research and development on launching the Just Us program.
Wonderful. And then we'd love to talk to, you know, more about this, but
But to go back to the Oasis Center, what do you see as the biggest challenge in running an organization like the Oasis Center?
You know, I think the challenge is that you know, it's one of these things where I think you could ask any staff member that works at the Oasis Center what their goal is, and their goal would be that we work ourselves out of a job, meaning that we no longer have young people that are living on the streets. We no longer have young people that are struggling with housing disparities. We no longer have young people that are dealing with childhood-based abuse. And we no longer have young people that are struggling with the cycle of oppression with regards to their race and their gender identity and their ethnicity, their country of origin, all of the things that bring young people to our door. Our wish would be that we never had to worry about them because our community has all the supports that are needed. Our community embraces diversity and inclusion and has the capacity to respect and honor and treat people with dignity, that we don't have systemic poverty, we don't have systemic racism. All of the systems that we have and the structure of our country keeps us in business. There's never enough resources, there's never enough hours in the day for us to be able to provide all the resources needed for our young people. So, I think our our biggest struggle is that it's never going to end. And although we've been around for 50 plus years, I think that when I am no longer breathing air on this earth, that the Oasis Center is still going to be fighting the good fight.
Yeah. And I did a bit of research on your website and, looking at the numbers about how in 2019, you, around 3,497, I'm guessing around teens, like that area, found support in the Oasis Center. And I think that's quite an incredible amount to reach in Middle Tennessee in that year. And what kind of like programs do y'all offer, and how does one seek support in this field?
So we have basically two platforms of programming. We have what we consider to be our Crisis to Housing division of the agency. And then we have our positive youth development or prevention side of the house. And I'll talk a little bit about both of those particular divisions. So our Crisis to Housing division is focused on young people that are struggling with mental health supports that they need. They're struggling with family trauma with regards to families not working well together. We have a crisis shelter that's specifically for young people 14 to 17 that can come and stay with us for a short period of time to give everybody an opportunity to just sort of take a deep breath. And there's a lot of family counseling involved, a lot of individual counseling, a lot of group counseling to try to reunify those families and help them work better and to be able to grow together as a family. And then we work with young adults that are 18 to 24 that are also struggling with a lot of unmet needs. So we have young people that are literally homeless in the city of Nashville that are struggling for permanent housing. And we have several ways in which we are trying to assist them. We have a drop-in center when we're not in COVID. We have a drop-in center that's open, you know, Monday through Friday, that allows young people to come in and get sort of triaged with a case manager to find out exactly what their needs are, to help them with getting enrolled in the city's database for seeking housing, from trying to help them get another copy of their birth certificate because they've lost it, which you can't do anything out with anything with in the government without having your birth certificate. You can't get a driver's license. You can't get an ID. You can't get employment. There's just a lot of barriers that exist. And when you're living on the streets and your backpack gets stolen and all your important papers are in there, you got to start all over again. So we do a lot of triage in that respect with really trying to help them get basic resources to help them get to a place where they can start living independently. We have a supportive housing unit that's across the street from us where we're able to house 19 young people, young adults in their own small little apartment. And we provide supportive services for those young adults that are living in that space. And then we also have a rapid rehousing program where we're finding actual independent living opportunities for young people to be able to pay their own rent and be able to help them. We also help them find employment. So it's a full continuum of services to help these young people to grow and thrive as independent adults, which is what they want to be. But life circumstances have put them in a place where they don't have the resources to be able to manage those, what we consider to be, you know, sort of your graduated life expectations. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And we can get into that a little bit later. And then we have our prevention side of the house. So like the first 30 years or 20 years that Oasis Center was open, it was all focused on crisis. And then we decided, gee, what if we were to try to do some things that were preventive, you know, in nature so that we could get in front of a potential crisis. So on our prevention side of the house, we have, let's see, I did a head count on that. We have 12 different positive youth development programs that we offer. And this is for middle school and high school students. And those vary in a lot of different things. We've got our College Connection division. We have our bike workshop for young people to learn how to build a bike. And then they get to take their bike with them once they've learned how to build a bike from parts to on the road. We've got leadership programs. We have a WeGo youth action team that works with the city on youth ridership. We have a program specifically for young men of color. We have a program specifically for international students, first-generation Americans. We have an art program. So there's a myriad of programs, the Just Us program for LGBT young people. So these programs are developed to create leadership opportunities for young folks that otherwise would not be able to access those resources, as well as their identity-based programming that allows them to create community when they themselves can't build community within their schools or their own neighborhoods.
And then I think these are all wonderful programs. And one problem that I would have is, you know, for example, I think I'm fortunate to say that I didn't have to do any of these things. And I'm fortunate enough to be enrolled in a day school and have a roof over my head. But if I put myself in a position that I don't have those privileges, I think I would almost not necessarily ashamed, more of like I would be unwilling to outreach for institutions like, you know, the Oasis Center for help. So I was wondering how Oasis Center outreach to youth that need help, or is it common that they're, you know, they come by reference, or how specifically do you identify those people that needs help?
Well, for our young adults that are struggling with housing disparities, we do have a street outreach team that goes and literally walks the streets of Nashville to connect with, we actually connect a lot with the adults that are living on the streets because they know everybody that's new that comes in. So as a new young person shows up, they're able to identify for us, hey, there's a group of new kids that have just arrived. They're down at the bus station. Or we've seen a young person that is not doing well, and they're hanging out at this building down the road. So it helps with our capacity to be able to meet those young people where they are, especially if they're new to Nashville. But it doesn't take long. You know, we are the only youth-specific, full-service, fully-staffed agency that's focusing on, crisis to housing opportunities for young people from 18 to 24. So it's word of mouth, and young people that are living on the streets, they're pretty smart. They know how to get resources. They know how to get connected. And we do our best to be out there trying to communicate with them to make sure that we are getting the word out for those that are new coming into Nashville, because we do get a lot of young people coming from other states and outside of Middle Tennessee because they feel like a bigger city is going to have greater opportunities for them.
Yeah, and you were talking a little bit earlier about how, like, some of these programs that you guys offer, and I'm wondering, how were these programs developed? Were they set up by experts? Were they based off of certain statistics for groups? Like, what went into designing and making these programs for people who are in need?
You know, with nonprofit management, it's one of the things where you don't build something unless you have the funding for it. So a lot of the program development came from, you know, state or federal funding that was focused specifically on a marginalized population. And when Oasis Center moved from sort of this or expanded its reach from crisis to housing to prevention, then, you know, staff at that point in time were really focused on seeking funding that would support sort of the vision of the Oasis Center, which was on a positive youth development format, really wanting to make sure that we were engaging young people and their families and their peers and community organizations to help them feel connected to their community when they otherwise would not be feeling connected to their community. So funding is a big portion of the way in which nonprofits are able to expand their programming, is that they get a big grant, a federal grant or a national or a local state grant that will fund the development of a program so that we can launch it. And then if you continue to demonstrate the efficacy of the work that you're doing, then the funding continues to happen. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
And then, you know, in terms of funding, I just want to expand a little bit on that as well. And I'm pretty sure, I mean, in terms of the federal funding to Oasis Center, it's in the millions per year, right? I mean, I believe it was like 1 year and the Oasis Center received $1.7 million. Is that right? Around that area?
Well, actually, we received a pretty significant federal grant specifically focusing on the crisis to housing division of our agency. And it was in the $3.6 million range. So it's pretty significant hit for us, and it helped us absolutely expand our reach for working with young people that are struggling with housing disparities. So that federal grant is pretty significant. We also have another federal grant that is supporting our transitions program, which is workforce development for young adults that are having a difficult time finding employment to help them sustain their independence.
And then I think specifically right now under the context of COVID, I mean, I'm sure everything is more difficult than ever. And especially, I think this is a time where, whether it be in a sense of domestic abuse or whether it be the sense of rents rising on a level that's never seen before in Nashville, or whether it be evictions or, I mean, anything of that sort, I'm sure Oasis Center has played a central role in this. So I was wondering if you can expand a little bit on what specifically you've done in the context of COVID.
Yeah, COVID has been a challenge for us, just like it's been for any other organization, whether they're private or public, a nonprofit or a for-profit organization. What we immediately saw when we had to sort of shutter our doors for the safety of our staff and for the safety of our young people was that a lot of our young people that we had already housed in their own homes, they immediately were losing their jobs. And so therefore they weren't able to pay their rent. So they went from finally having a home to not having a home again. And we saw young people that, a lot of our young people are basically essential workers. They're working, you know, hourly wage jobs, that are minimum wage, because they aren't college educated. They don't have, you know, all of those, privileges that come with having a family that was focused on them and helping them grow and thrive. And so they are, you know, and I'll take a segue real quick. Jimmy and Paul, I just want to tell you something that I believe deep in my soul is that the best transitional living program for any young person is college, which means that you are in a safe space when we're not dealing with COVID, that you're able to sort of grow up and be an adult in a place that's still safe, that keeps you grounded. You still have, you know, a cafeteria card to go and get food. You still have a key to a dorm. You have adults that are engaged with you through your professors and your, you know, your, the person on your dorm that is your, you know, your floor manager, whatever that looks like. Mm-hmm. For a young person that has not, that's been living in poverty their entire lives or was rejected from their family because of their sexual orientation, gender identity, any myriad of things that, you know, they're living in poverty. And when they're 18, their parents are like, we love you, but you'd have to leave the house because we can't afford to feed you anymore. Or there is, you know, a history of domestic violence in the household and the young person is just, I've got to get out of here. And the parents aren't focused on, you know, I have a 21-year-old that's in college. And I remember very distinctly sophomore, junior year, all our energy was focused on college applications and getting, you know, your exams, you're taking your SATs, your ACTs, you're taking them again if your scores aren't right, we're getting tutors, you know, whatever. I mean, put so much energy into it. It's a full-time job for parents to really engage, to help young people get to that next step. And when they're not there, it just completely cuts off opportunities for young people. That, you know, bright, brilliant young folks that don't have family support can just mean the difference between, you know, struggling to survive and then growing and thriving. So that's what we're working with some of our young people. And on our prevention side, we're really desperately trying to, with our like our college access program, we have a lot of international students that are first generation Americans, or are not, you know, they're DACA dreamers, that are, we bring them in and we teach them how to, you know, figure out how to start applying for colleges, and we help coach them on their essays. And a lot of those, you know, our international undocumented students are getting into Yale and Harvard and Princeton. They're brilliant. They are amazingly intelligent young people. But without the services that OASIS brings to the table, you know, their parents don't know how to navigate college access in the United States. They're doing their best to just put food on the table. So this is sort of what we are trying to do as an organization, is help them grow and thrive. We meet them where they are. We get into the narrative around what is preventing you from being successful. And then we try to find the right resource to help get them on their way.
And I think these are wonderful things that the OASIS Center does. But like you mentioned earlier, there's never enough that one single institution can do. And a lot of people are probably not going to be able to commit, you know, the times that you've committed for an entire year for an institution like OASIS Center. So I was wondering, what do you think as a bystander that can't necessarily work for the institution for a full time, what do you think we can do, and how can we help to be part of the solution?
That's a great question, Jimmy. You know, it's, I think really getting in touch with where you have privilege, being in touch with understanding the cycles of oppression, and where they're rooted, and having thoughtful conversations with people in power around, you know, where they're choosing to put their energy towards policies, towards investments, and not taking for granted that where they are in their lives, people in power, people with wealth, people with education, that as much as we, you know, I'm a white cis woman, and I am very in tune with my privilege as a white person. I did work really hard to go to college, and I worked really hard when I was in college, but there was a lot of doors open to me that were not opened to my peers, because of the color of our skin, because of, you know, my parents' jobs and their friends and who opened doors for me for summer employment. I didn't have to interview for a summer employment position. My parents made a phone call, and then I just went in and I started working. That's privilege. I worked hard when I was working that job, but we have to really get in touch as a country around the depths of oppression that exist, and educating ourselves, being in touch with that makes a huge difference, because the hope is that when you know, reach a place of power and privilege that puts you at a level that you're able to put that to good use, that you start using your privilege for the good and not to continue the cycle of oppression. So as young adults, as young, you guys are, you know, at least Jimmy, you're in high school. Paul, I don't know if you're equally in high school.
Yeah, I'm also in high school.
It's around you guys having critical dialogue with your peers, and, you know, what is it that you feel like is something that you want to do to right some wrongs? And if it's, you know, getting involved with Hands on Nashville and being a part of community cleanup projects, or if it's doing a sock drive for the OASIS for young people that need, you know, clean new socks, because socks are considered a disposable item to young people that are walking the streets. They take their socks off and they throw them away. There's nowhere to wash them. So we go through a ton of socks, you know, trying to, you know, assist with supporting those that are struggling, is a great first step. And then when you guys get your big boy jobs and you're out there, you know, raking in some dough, that you start using your money to make a difference.
Yeah, and I think definitely if I knew about this program before, now I'm going to go off to college and be away from Middle Tennessee for a while. I definitely wanted to get involved, and I saw the stuff about the Mayor's Youth Council and just some fantastic opportunities to get involved with this program. And I'm sure many of our listeners who are younger or also in high school and are sophomores and juniors that are hearing this will also be incredibly interested. So I'm wondering, as we wrap up, if you'd like to share the Oasis Center's website or any contact information if they did want to get involved, or possibly if they're, I know you guys have a phone number for crisis services, if you also want to share that for any listeners who think any of these things apply to them as well. I think this might be a good opportunity for all of these people.
Oh, absolutely. So you can, anyone that's interested in the Oasis Center, oasiscenter.org will get you a really good overview of all the programs that we offered. And there is a volunteer button that you can push if you want to be engaged in some kind of volunteer project. I will say that to be a full-time volunteer requires you to actually be an adult more than a young person, just because it's a pretty significant time investment. However, there are opportunities for you to do some different kind of drives, like a sock drive or a protein pack drive, or, you know, something that you collectively can do together and provide those resources to the agency. We go through those resources very quickly. And for anyone that's in crisis that needs assistance with mental health support or housing support, or they just want to be connected to a positive youth to program at the Oasis Center, the number is 615-327-4455. That number is 24/7, and we can try to assist in any way we can and or find the right referral base for any young person that's struggling.
Well, thank you, Ms. Jeffer. That was a really interesting conversation we had, and we learned a lot about not just Oasis Center, but also just youth engagement and youth crisis management in general. And I really appreciate the work that you've done for youth in Middle Tennessee.
Well, I appreciate the time to come and chat with you, and I wish y'all both the best, whether it's going into your senior year or going into your freshman year of college. It's been an interesting ride with COVID, but I wish you an amazing new year and an incredible future.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That concludes this episode of the We Are Z podcast. If you'd like to see more, be sure to check out our website at wrzpod.com or our Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at wrzpod. Thank you again for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.